Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die. 23, try to be as effective, concise, and as focused but as timely as possible tonight. Timely and me preaching are two words not synonymous with one another. Amen. Amen. So buckle up. Eddie, get a coat, go to the bathroom, sit down, enjoy yourself. No. Mr. Curtis Reed always gets on to me on Sundays. Yeah, you're a long-winded preacher. Mr. Curtis and of course Miss Geraldine, you could have preached all day. Wouldn't have bothered me. So it's such an exciting thing to be able to test people's patience and allow God to grow your focus. Amen. Oh, we got a wiry group tonight. We're going to look at verses 25 through 28 tonight of a message titled, Correctly Cleaned. Now, I love Matthew chapter 23 is a chapter that is one that can rebuke, challenge, encourage, and all of them in one chapter. When the Bible uses the word woe, that's usually not a word that is saying slow down. It's actually saying whoa, look out, be careful, watch. This, if you grew up like I did in the schools that I went to, if you're a person like me that disdains legalism, these verses tonight are verses that you are highly encouraged by and probably invoke memories that can at times be rather unpleasant. You know me, church, I'm black and white. That's the way I think. There is a moral absolute truth dividing line. There is no such thing as, well, it's okay, you ready? If you take a gun and go to the store because your family's hungry and you walk in and you say, give me 5 pounds of ground beef, and you give them and you take that, what have you done? You've committed what? Crime, but you've committed armed robbery. Wait a minute. No, my family was hungry. I just needed to feed my family. I just had to do that because my family's hungry. What did you do? You committed an armed robbery. Why is that important? Because we're a nation of laws. We are a nation of laws. If we don't like the laws, what do you need to do? Petition your senators, your legislatures to change the law if you don't like it. Law is based on an absolute moral standard, amen? And at the end of the day, it must fit within the context of the law. That's one of the reasons, church. There's no such thing as an undocumented immigrant. There's something called an illegal trespasser of the laws that have broken laws. Doesn't matter what our moral feeling is. Change the laws if we don't like it. Because what happens is when we don't like something and we decide to usurp the law, what have we done? The same thing is saying that the guy that went in there, there's no reason that we should prosecute him because he was just trying to feed his family. Law is law, church. Amen? So either we're going to be law-abiding and in a society of laws, what do you have when they're followed? You have order. You have security. You have a feeling of safety. What happens when lawlessness becomes law? What do you have? You have a society with which I will thrive because I can defend my family. But if you're not trained like I am and equipped like I am, I hate to say it, you're not going to do so well. And I'll just tell you that. So you should be a person that desires that truth, righteousness, and law be the thing that you want to stand within, because actually you stand within the context of what God's desire is. So when I say that, and the fact of the black and white thinking of what's right is right, what's wrong is wrong, if you don't like something, petition, let's get it changed. This picture tonight that emerges in the scribes and Pharisees was one of which the outside looked the way that they wanted it to look, but what was the reality of the condition? Those of you who know this story know that the real condition was not what the outward presented. You hear me talk a lot about facades. Don't come and put on a facade at church. Don't come and present that your life is all in order and everything's wonderful in your life. If your marriage is going down the toilet, your children are struggling, you're struggling, everybody's struggling in your house, come in there and be transparent about it and ask us to lift you up in prayer to encourage you and help us walk with you through the battles, the valleys, the struggles, because if right now your life is a disastrous mess, you can come to church and pretend everything's good. But I want to tell you, the only person you're fooling is yourself. The only person that's going to stand there in the pieces and the brokenness, isolated and alone, is you. Don't do what the scribes and Pharisees did, because, by the way, the one you really need to worry about sees it all anyways. That's God. We can't fool God. And I hope tonight, though, helps us all recognize that those times that we fall into the false assumption or belief that we just need to let everybody believe that things are good, and in a sense, that becomes a reality, that we would be awakened to the truth that we need to be correctly cleaned spiritually. That is through the renewing of Christ in salvation, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, who paid the price for us. It's not about acting saved. It's not about getting our act together and coming to church. No, that is nothing more than placing yourself under the law. We know what Jesus thought about the law, don't we? He came to abolish that, to remove it. He took away that yoke of slavery to us. And under the new covenant in Jesus Christ, we can be slaves to righteousness. The law is fulfilled in the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us victory over sin, gives us the ability and the conviction to be convicted, to repent, to turn to Him. And I pray tonight you are living within that victory, fully cleaned by His sacrifice, by grace and through faith, not of works. Hope you found Matthew 23 again, verses 25 through 28. And if you're able physically, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's word. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you're full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup so that the outside of it may also become clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which appear beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead men's bones and everything impure. In the same way, on the outside, you seem righteous to people, but inside, you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Father, thank you tonight, God, for your word. Hide me behind the cross, Lord, so that you might speak, God, as only you can. Father, thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that forgives, that cleanses, that gives true life. Thank you for the Spirit's power tonight that encourages us, challenges us, convicts us. Father, have your way in this midst. And we ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 25 again. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside full of greed and self-indulgence. First thing that I want to share with you comes from that verse tonight. It's this: it does not matter what the outside of your life looks like if the inside is dirty. Don't live a lie. Don't. I share this quite often. Before I came to Christ, I lived what I was. I didn't like it when my wife would drag me to church and I had to pretend for a few minutes. I never even went to the service. I would always go to Sunday school. Matter of fact, Brian and Marsh were in a class with us, and I was dragged in there in a sense, kicking and screaming, and then I would exit quickly at the end of Sunday school. I just kind of did that to placate my wife, but also to be able to tell my mom I went to church. Y'all know what she'd do. She'd call me on Sunday. Did you go to church? Nope, mama. Oh, you think you're going to hell? She would just go. She'd tear me alive. She loved me to death. Amen? Even though her motives weren't in the way that you'd want them to be, they were with every great intention that a mother lovingly beats her child into submission. No. She cared much for me and still does. See, it doesn't matter what the outside of your life looks like. And I didn't care about that. I was lost, and my dad's compliment to me when I did come to genuine saving faith in Christ was that, hey, when you were lost, I appreciate that you lived like the devil. I was not 1 foot light and darkness. As a matter of fact, I saw something this week, and I really liked it. I'm actually going to tell you guys to place it on the screen one of these days. I liked it so much that I took a picture of it when I saw it. This is rich, okay? Y'all hold on. I won't charge you for this one. You'll just have to stay a little extra because it's taking me a second to pull it up. It is good. Oh, boy. Wait here. It's here. It's here. Oh, for crying out loud. Oh, yeah, that's real good. I knew it. Look at the enemy. He's rich, isn't he, in his desire to not let something really powerful. Long story short, basically it said light and darkness, you had the Lord's field and the devil's field. The enemy owns the fence. It had a guy laying up on top of the fence. You know what that means? Don't think that you can have 1 foot in heaven and one in hell. Go to church, right? You got your heaven foot you're standing on, then you go to work and you do this. Don't do it. Don't do it. Why? To picture this right here. The outside, nice and clean. Then when you go with your friends, you're chameleon. The time I told you that I went to a store with a brother in Christ, invited the man that was his friend, not mine, didn't know the man, invited him to fellowship, didn't tell him I was the preacher, said, hey, you go to church? Would you like to go? Well, yeah, he goes, that's the same place he goes. Oh, he goes to church? I'll never forget it the rest of my life. Made me very sad because I realized that this person that had portrayed themselves as something to me was something quite the opposite when they weren't around me. It doesn't matter what the outside of your life looks like tonight, brothers and sisters, if the inside is dirty. Doesn't matter what everyone thinks about you. As a matter of fact, the greater tendency we have to keep everything organized in our lives, I'm not getting on you OCDers tonight, but the greater tendency we have to have everything organized in our life is, in many cases, what? Hiding the fact that we're out of control in other areas. You know that? So that's why I can't keep nothing organized. A few of you got it. I'm not putting on a front, church. My car is the cleanest thing that I can keep organized because it's a small area. Amen. But a lot of times, though, we will keep organization in certain areas because other areas are extremely out of control. Anybody know what the battle of the mind is? Anybody in here ever have battles of the mind? Ever have battles with fear? Ever have battles with insecurity? Have battles when they put you on a cholesterol medicine, you start not remembering anything, and then your meningitis on top of that, then the cholesterol medicine on top of that potentiates it, makes it worse. Thank the Lord you get off the cholesterol medicine and you start to get some of that memory back, but how hard it is because of the fear that what's going on. Anybody in here recognize what it's like to feel, in a sense, out of control in a mental sense of feeling like you're alone? Nobody knows what it's like, the battle that you have, when in reality others have him too. Though the battle might be different, it's still a battle nonetheless. See, many times we try to compensate or overcompensate by organizing other areas of our life or focusing on something so that we feel that sense of order to hide what we feel so out of control with in other areas. You know, I often say this to people. I actually say it just about on a daily basis. Be honest with God about these things. Because sometimes we have a tendency to try to hide those things even from God. You know, God, look what I'm in my word now and I'm praying now. Look, God, what's doing good. Don't look over there. Just keep looking over there. We have that little closet door in our life that we've got our foot on, right? God, you got the whole house, Lord. You ever been to somebody's house and they're standing in front of a door like, what's behind that door? Nothing. You open it up and everything that they had laying all over the house when you got ready to come is in the door. My mama used to go to my drawers. I learned this really quick. When I was really young, my mom expected your clothes to be organized and nicely placed in your drawers. Well, the first one on top was, I think my mom was stupid. My mom wasn't born yesterday, so what did mama start to do? Oh, my mother had a solution for this, girls. That's why we do this at home. Whenever this happens, my mother would have a come to Jesus holy roller turnover meeting. She took every single drawer and everything in my entire room and dumped it in an unorganized pile in the middle of the floor and let me start over. True story all the way from A to Z. My mom is an OCD cleaner, and she expected order. See, we can adjust the top and try to hide what's underneath, but guess what? See, God knows what's underneath. You know, tonight, no matter what everybody thinks about you, God knows the real you. God knows the real battles, the struggles. Why don't we get honest with him? What do you not like about your life tonight and you recognize the hindrance to your walk with Christ? What about allowing that tonight to be laid at the altar spiritually, so to speak, and saying, God, I don't like this about me because I know this doesn't glorify and honor you. And Lord, I want that closet cleaned out too. But I know, though, if I do that, God, then I'm going to have to release control of something that I have found a real sense of security in. What happens if you get honest about an addiction that's hidden and nobody knows about it? Let me tell you one thing, there's no such thing, because it's eventually going to come knocking. I know a pastor that has a really bad addiction to alcohol, and they've got it, in a sense, quote unquote, under control. But I know one day somebody's going to call in the middle of the night, and I've said this, and this person's going to go. And when you show up there, if they don't get a DUI or have a wreck on the way, what's going to happen when that family's lost a loved one or they're sick and they smell what comes off the breath? See, you can play around, you can fool around. But ultimately, I'm going to tell you something. The enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And what is his desire? It's complete and utter destruction. And that's why we got to be honest with who we are and get the victory and stop living lies. These parallel universes that we think we've got under control and separated. There's no such thing as sin under control, church. Amen? It will control you. It does not desire a corner of your life. It desires all of you. We found a person dead last year about this time. It's been 1 year ago. I didn't know the man personally, but I found out this person was living in a garage behind their mother's house. Had had a very, very, very prestigious job many years ago, retired from, that it should have been living in opulence and luxury as a result of that. Living behind a mother's home, having been consumed by a raging alcohol addiction. A person that had known them personally said, in this place they were sleeping was bottles standing up in this entire room and a mattress on the floor at the back of the room. And when you'd walk in, there was nothing more than a pathway through all these bottles to a bed on the floor. And I told the kids that were with me the morning that we found this man, when I learned the situation, I said, I want to tell you something. There's one thing. I had suspected that's what it was, because there was alcohol strung 150 yards to where this person had wrecked. And I said, let me tell you something. There's one thing about addiction and brokenness and sin. It doesn't desire to just join your life. It desires you and only you. It will not share you with anybody. If you know anybody that's ever had a drug addiction and they're honest with you, candid in the battle with it, I know there's a man that I knew well who had really battled crack. And he told me, he said, crack talks to you. And I was like, really? Because I said, help me understand this battle, man. He goes, it talks to you. He said, when you have everything and a good job and everything, you start using it fun. You go to a party and you start enjoying this. And remember, now you got a good exterior, but you got this little place inside that's really nasty and dirty, and you start to desire to feed this nature. And so what happens at first, it's okay, but then what it happens is, well, you can't do it too long with your job. So when you lose your job, it says to you this, that's all right, you've got me. He said, well, then you go on, and Then there's a slow, perpetual slide that occurs, and the next thing you know, your wife leaves you. And he said the reassuring words of it are, "That's okay. You've got me." He said then, slowly but surely, your boat leaves. Your extra car leaves. Your projects leave. Your hobbies leave. And he said it slowly reassures you, "That's no problem. You've got me." He said then one day, they take your car. It's no problem because you can walk. You got a bike. And it assures you once again, "It's all right. You've got me." He said, then one day, you have no home. You have no wife. You have no car. You have no job. You have no friends. You have no children. And he said, as you sit in the midst of your nothingness, he said, it says to you, "That's no problem. You've got me." That man personally died from the very thing that he had told me the story about. See, the inside, unless it's treated and dealt with, the outside, this person looked great and fine, but it wasn't. Don't get caught in that trap. Don't think that you can have respectable sin in your life and it not own you, because it will. It is only a matter of time. And by the way, there's no age limits on this either. Verse 26, "You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup so that the outside of it may also become clean." Second thing I want to share with you tonight is this: cleaning the outside first will only bring brokenness and judgment. Don't mess around with making the exterior good, because if you know what I'm talking about, I remember it firsthand as well as ever. It is exhausting to project the facade that you have to in certain circumstances when you are not genuine. Is it not? It's exhausting, isn't it? It's exhausting. Because you've got to remember, okay, are these the people that I talked at? Wait, I better not let that slip. Let's see. Okay, the other ones that talk like that. You know that when you live the same way all the time, you don't have to worry about what company you're in and have to figure out who you're supposed to be? Isn't that exciting? If you don't know what I'm talking about tonight, think about that, let it soak in, because I'm telling you, it's rich. It is really awesome that no matter where you go, you can talk the same way all the time. And actually, I'm thankful for that, because guess what? I'm getting to the point of life where I'd forget how I'm supposed to talk in front of people. So I'd make a big old mess of it if there was people that, like in my past, that I couldn't say certain things in front of. Thankfully, I was pretty much an equal opportunity offender. I didn't care what you thought. As a matter of fact, when I think back to it, it makes me cringe now thinking about the things that I used to say to people. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, amen, who yielded his life in atonement for sin and opened the floodgates that all may go in. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus his Son. Praise the Lord. I hadn't heard that in a long time. Do we sing that? Why'd that just come to my mind? Okay. I love that song. Anybody else? It is a great song. Just brought back a really awesome memory. Verse 7 and 28, and we'll finish up. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You're like whitewashed tombs which appear beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead men's bones and every impurity. In the same way, on the outside, you seem righteous to people, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Third and final thing I want to share with you tonight: bring the filthy heart to Jesus and be truly cleaned from the inside out. There's nothing that God can't redeem. There is no situation that is unable to be redeemed, able to be righted. There's no ship that God cannot unstick from wherever you might be. The question Is your mind and listening to the enemy and what his desire for your life going to be the thing that you allow? Or are you going to sit there and listen to him say, there's no way? There's no way. How many marriages of people have come in this church within weeks of ending? God's redeemed and restored. I remember one night we raised hands, and it was unreal, just a reminder of how many marriages that God has saved in this body of Christ. Praise God, glory, hallelujah, amen. Share the awesome things that God's done, man. Because you know what? It's what I say, and I'll never forget one young man in here. I can see him, he's in here, he's probably back there. That I said the first night he called me and I met up with him, I ended up being done at midnight. That's back when I used to stay up till about 8. I sat with him one night till midnight. And I left and I said, I won't see him again. Next morning at 6 o'clock, got a call from him. He had done the things that I said he needed to do to start turning the things around. And I said to him that night, I said, I know this doesn't sound very encouraging to you right now, but I promise you, if you allow God to work, you're going to look back on this 1-2 years from now and you're going to say, I never thought that I could love my wife like I love her right now. Josh, I can say this because he lets me do it. Remember that conversation, brother? And I know that night he could barely see through the fog of what he was battling that night. And the despondency, in a sense, the hopelessness, and the inability to see past that. I told him this as honest and transparent. I said, when I left that night, I said, I'll never see him again. I did. Because it was just so much that had to be done. And by the way, I can share this because they've allowed me to share this. I would never do that if it had not been. But I think we need to realize that there are people that God's redeemed, and they need to be able to share their stories. And as they've shared that over the years here, what a comfort it is to people in realizing that God is intimately involved in our lives and our hearts, and intimately involved in waiting until it seems like there's no hope at all. To do what? His greatest work. Because see, if it looks like man can do it, how easy it is to go, well, I just started acting right and, you know, we got things straightened out. No, you're able to sit back and go, there's no way in the world that this would have ever been able to happen if it wasn't for King Jesus. There's no way. See, but you got to bring those filthy hearts. You got to let God have a hold of those closets, those checkbooks, those retirements. You got to let God have a hold of your heart. First and foremost, because if God doesn't have your heart, he's got nothing. Don't think that you and I can wall off areas of our lives to God, you can have it all but that. If he doesn't have it all, he's got nothing. Nothing. Someone shared something with me this week. Fear. I like it. I wish they'd have shared it with me before Sunday. I can probably pull it up real quick. But I want y'all to read. If you have your notes, do it real quick, okay? You ready for this? Here's an acronym for fear. Write this down. This is rich. Fear, false evidence appearing real. Whew! That right there will preach. Well, there's another hour sermon right there. False evidence appearing real. If everybody found out the battles of your mind, they'd never ever want to talk. They wouldn't want nothing to do with you. Don't ever tell nobody. Leave that mold inside the shower. Nobody's going to see it. Let me give you what Johnny Hunt says, church. I'd love it. God covers what we uncover, but uncovers what we cover. Didn't hear no amens. How many people in churches would be going, ooh, well, I'll deal with it when it comes, just like the IRS, right? Housekeeping. No speaking English, we moved. They're going to get you eventually, amen? You can't pretend like they don't exist. I'm a sovereign citizen. You ever heard that one? They tried that one. Doesn't work good. I don't pay taxes. I don't believe in it. Yeah, that works really good. Church, truth is truth, whether we realize it or not, whether we like it or not. Doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what you think. It matters what God thinks. Tonight, be honest with yourself. Where's your heart? How's your heart? Are you bound onto the false evidence appearing real in your life? Living a facade? Scared to death that if somebody finds out who you are, that no one's going to want anything to do with you? Guess what? That's a lie straight from hell. You know why? Because I can assure you at this body of Christ, there's one person, I know there's many, but I'm going to tell you there's one person who's going to love you in spite of the depth of your brokenness, no matter who it is, and it's me. And I can say that because there's a whole lot of people in here that can attest to that. I know that full well. I'm going to love you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to pray for you and pray with you, no matter how vile you may think you are. You know what I recognize the older I get? The depth of the feet of clay that we have. And it's only by the grace of God, there go I. I understand that it is only by the loving, merciful, restraining grace of King Jesus that I am not that person right now that you revile in your life. Amen? It's only right now by two or three bad choices that you or I aren't sitting on the side of the road with a needle hanging out of our arm. Don't ever think for a minute it can't happen, because I know it can. But I want you to know tonight, God just doesn't want your life. He wants your heart first. Because he can't do nothing with our life if he doesn't have a heart. What is religion? When you're out there putting out religion without a relationship, it's the Pharisees. They're whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. They were so lost. They didn't know their right from their left. They didn't know up from down. They thought they did. Do you know what the problem was? That's what religion does to you. It gets you focused on what you do and don't do, and you miss the ability to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You know what a personal relationship with Jesus Christ does? I know firsthand. This is what happened to me September 20th, 2004. It's at the depth of your brokenness, the dungeon, the cell that is your prison is lit. And you recognize for the first time in your life the depth of your brokenness and the sin that has entangled you. You recognize that you can't start going to church and stop cussing and quit drinking and running around and acting up, and you can climb out of that. No, you recognize when you really do, that no matter what you or I think, the only thing that can get us out of that prison cell is to recognize that it is by grace and through faith. It's recognize that confessing our sin and God, I don't have anything to bring to you. I know I am nothing but brokenness. I'm nothing but sin. I don't even have anything because you're the God that created me. What can I offer you? You own everything. So going to church and acting right ain't going to do anything to save anybody, because our righteousness is as filthy rags. But it is in the depth of understanding our brokenness and being in that prison cell and it being lit, that in the midst of that, you're able to see, when you humble yourselves and look up, that there's a hand reached down. Salvation is recognizing your sin. It's recognizing there's nothing you can do to bridge the gap between sinful man and God. But the one reached down and says, I love you. I want to forgive you. I want to pull you out, wash you, set you on a firm foundation. Why? Simply because he loves us. No other reason, but he loves us. He desires to take the broken and shattered pieces, because he's the potter, and mold us into something that can be used. God used a 4-year experience in bed for me to mold me. He's still molding me and will for the rest of my life. But that was my time on the potter's wheel, preparing me for what I never could have begun to imagine, which is today. And the ability that I have to sit and talk to someone on the phone and have compassion for someone that even I myself recognize, if I would have not spent the time on the potter's wheel, would have had no compassion at all. But see, that's what God has to do. He has to break us and make us his own. And it is in the awesome hands of the potter that he forms us into that vessel so we can be used. I hope tonight that you're not merely living religion and acting religion, but that you have a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ, that you know tonight in the midst of who you are, that is the righteousness of Christ that has been imputed, has been given to you and saved you. Tonight, you're not religious. You love Jesus, and that's why you're here. You care about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and lifting up and proclaiming his name tonight. I hope tonight as you leave here, you're excited about doing his plans and purposes, and you're excited about Sunday already. Why? Because you can get back and huddle with your brothers and sisters in Christ and be encouraged and pray with and pray for, and then go out once again into the battlefield next week that will be just as vicious, if not greater, than it is right now. And the blessing of what God's given us, but don't leave here tonight living a lie, living a facade, with doors shut and areas of life walled off, because there is only a greater level of brokenness that is the end of that. But tonight, Christ Jesus, don't forget, came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Let's pray. Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life. First, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.